Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. I welcome you to True Church Radio. Today's message is called Upside Down Christianity. That's right, Upside Down Christianity. I would say that Christianity in the West has been upside down for the vast majority of its existence in the West. We look in the scriptures and we look in church history and we see that the enemy wasted no time trying to derail the faith that was once given by Jesus Christ to the apostles and from the apostles, empowered by the Holy Spirit to the saints and to the church fathers. And we see that immediately Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is, he referenced to false apostles and false brethren, that he was endangered by false brethren. We see that Jesus commended the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 for being able to discern false apostles. So we see that Satan wasted no time. Once he saw that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and the plan of God that was prophesied in the garden, and he received that massive, unremovable, irreparable bruise to the head by the heel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he knew immediately that he had to destroy the church, and that's why persecution was and still is very prevalent, out of anger, out of hatred, and because he is a murderer from the beginning, he has tried to destroy the church through trying to kill it. But as many have said, the blood of the martyrs have been the seedbed for the saints that are yet to come. Praise the Lord. So even as he continues in 2015 through Islam, now fulfilling scripture end time prophecy, where it says that those that had their heads beheaded and revelations were told. We see that clearly taking place in our day, like never before, through the Catholic organization during the Dark Ages. They were burning people at the stake. Fire was their method of torture and death in the Dark Ages. But now we see that we have actually crept upon the last days, where people are actually being beheaded. And interestingly enough, fulfilling the words of Jesus, these people think that they're doing God's service. But we see that Satan, pretty much, I once heard a man say that the church was robbed from the crib, from the cradle. So, you know, it didn't even get to come to full maturity before Satan began to infiltrate through false teachers, false apostles, false prophets, and false brethren through false conversions to create this upside-down church that we have seen through the history. But I have to tell you that our day, the 21st century, makes the Dark Ages look like the noonday. Our day, by far, is far more darker than the days of the Roman Catholic era, that 1,000 years of, or some have even said it's 1,500 years of persecution upon the true church of Jesus Christ. And there's a book that I would recommend if you want to look at some really good church history. It's called The Pilgrim Church. I don't remember the author, but if you just Google The Pilgrim Church, he really does a good job of penciling in the true church that has existed underground through the centuries, beginning way back after the Catholic Church, after the Council of Nicaea, where the Roman Emperor legalized Christianity and made it a legal religion with all the pagan religions, which I believe that was the death of the true church, if you will, and Satan joining the church through Constantine. And we see that that was a time in which Christianity began to take a serious descent, when we began to see things that were right side up becoming upside down. And as I tell many, we are accustomed to walking into a kitchen and seeing a table, the flat side up, the four legs, or however many legs, down. But if you were to raise your children with the table, the flat side down, and the legs up, and if your household was only a four and everyone could fit their plate on one of those legs, and you raised your children with that scenario, they would become used to something that is nothing more than upside down has been norm for them. And that's what we have going on in American Christianity today. I am an American. I live in America. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So the Bible clearly teaches that we start in our hometown and we radiate outwards. They started in Jerusalem and they went from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we, too, must be doing the same thing. We must be focusing on our city, our state, our nation, and reaching the rest of the world through our finances or through actually going ourselves as missionaries into other parts of the earth. But we have an obligation to our people, our city, and to our state first and foremost. Now, that's one area that I just want to start off immediately with, showing some things are upside down in the church today. And that is, the modern church in America has cast off their responsibility of being the light and the salt in their city. Instead, they have turned and they look to politicians, to Republican parties, Democratic parties, conservative parties, politicians, the political arena, to wield the moral sword. We have trusted in the political arena to stop gay marriage, and now it's been legalized by the Supreme Court and will never be overturned throughout the land of the United States, and they are pushing it upon other nations. Abortion, we have looked to politicians to stop funding Planned Parenthood. Now, I think that's a tax issue. Therefore, taxpayers that don't agree with it have the right to stand out and to speak against it. So I'm not saying that that is totally wrong, because as taxpayers, we should have a voice as to what our tax money goes to. However, we need to understand something very, very important. The number one thing that the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost is concerned with is souls. That is the importance. That is the reason why Jesus Christ came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. He desires that men and women would come to know his Son and have an abiding relationship with him, the Father, with his Son that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. He desires men and women to be born again. And when you're born again, you won't be committing sexual sin. You won't be committing abortions. But when you look to politicians to try to stop an act or a behavior such as gay marriage, what happens is that we totally forget that just because if the politicians could stop gay marriage, or if they were to turn over gay marriage, it doesn't stop these men and women from dying and going to hell. And I would say that it has a negative impact on the church, to that community, because that community is blinded. They're in their sin. They're extremely offensive. And when they see opposition coming from the church telling them that what they're doing, they can't do that. But without the gospel message, it brings the wrong message. Yes, it is wrong. Yes, gay marriage is not of God. It is not normal. Even the animals show us that this is not normal. But our approach should not be through the political arena. Our approach should be through the power of the Spirit, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power unto salvation, not the political arena. That is something that has been upside down. We have trusted in our vote instead of trusting in the gospel, trusting in the Spirit of God to burden us and empower us to go forth into our cities and to turn our cities upside down. But instead, our cities, our state, this nation has turned the church upside down. And now the tail is wagging the dog. The dog is no longer wagging the tail, ladies and gentlemen. The tail is wagging the dog. Now they're telling the church what they can and cannot do. Now they're telling the Christian community what they can and cannot do. And I believe, and I said this since 2012, that I knew that God would allow gay marriage to pass, because this will be one of the major things that cleanses the truth and the false. That's right. I would be shocked if we don't see it by the end of 2016, but gay marriage is going to be shoved down the throats of every 501c3 status and every single building, such as John Hagee. I know John Hagee does not have a 501c3 status. I don't endorse the man. I believe he has a lot of bad false teachings. I believe he's a heretic, and he's leading a bunch of Jews straight into hell by telling them they don't need Jesus Christ. However, I know the man doesn't have a 501c3, and therefore he will not be, he'll be challenged in a different regard. He will be sued. Listen, if we have Christian businesses like that bakery, I think it's in Oregon, if we have Christian businesses like bakeries or anything else that says we cannot partake in your quote-unquote gay wedding, and they're being sued, do not think that these churches that don't have 501c3s or any of these so-called churches that have 501c3s in these last moments try to cast off their 501c3 and try to fight the guard. It ain't going to happen. It will not happen. They will end up with more lawsuits than they'll be able to afford, for one. And for two, they don't pay property taxes, so they have no clue what property taxes will cost them, for one. And they don't pay taxes on the dollars that come in. Now, that within itself would break most of these places. It'll break most of these places. These places, these organizations, institutions are competing with each other. They're trying to have the nicer, biggest building and the most attractive building, the one that has the nicest nurseries that moms will feel comfortable leaving their children in, and the most beautiful restrooms for the women to sit in, and blah, 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 blah. And they're competing with each other. But when you run out of the money, when you can no longer keep your staff, when you can no longer afford to cater to the goats anymore, well, guess what? The goats are goats, and the goats will leave you to go to the place that has compromised with the government and will continue to be able to cater to the goats, to those that have itching ears, as we have were told in the Bible. So this is an upside-down situation that has become normal to many generations, but the reality is that God himself is going to turn this upside down situation. He's going to turn it right side up. And I believe that that's the burden that the Lord has put in my heart over the past couple days. I was reading a book the other day that a brother mentioned called The Great Falling Away Today by Milton Green. It was written in 1986. I found it on Amazon for a penny. It cost more to ship the book than it cost to purchase the book. And I read the preface, which was 2 pages, and chapter 1, and it just, again, it just reinvigorated what I know to be true and put a burden in my heart to try to be used by God to reach my generation, to reach my city, my state, and this nation, to help him awaken to the reality that they're in an upside-down situation that God is not in. God is not in these towers of Babel. There are places of confusion. And the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion, but a peace amongst all the saints and all the churches. These places are full of confusion. The American church as a whole, just looking at the American church as a whole, is nothing but confusion. You have Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, just the Baptist organization is full of confusion. You got First Baptist, you got American Baptist, you got Southern Baptist, you got Northern Baptist. You got confusion. My brothers and sisters, if you have ears to hear, listen, you are not in the church of the living God. You're in the Tower of Babel. You're in Babylon. You're in Babylon. And you need to come out. You need to come out, because if you get stuck in that place, you're going to continually get, you're like the frog that is in a pot that has been getting warm for some time, and it's about to start boiling. And not only is it about to start boiling, but you're getting more lackadaisical, and the lid is about to be placed on top of this pot, and you won't be able to get out. You won't be able to get out. Look, go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because there's many that have bought the lie that, oh, God wouldn't do that to me. God wouldn't allow, God loves me. He wouldn't allow me to be deceived. If you think that, you already are deceived. And not only are you already deceived, but you deserve to be deceived. That's just the bottom line. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm cutting in the middle of this great, wonderful passage, but I want to make my point. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That verse right there is a clear unveiling of the American church. The American church is full of unrighteousness, and they love to have it so. They love to have it so. They're full of unrighteousness under the guise that God is love, God is mercy, God is peace. We're saved by grace. Nobody's perfect. We can all continue in sin and still go to heaven for the very things that got Satan and one-third of the angels kicked out, and will lock him up in the pit of eternal lake of fire for eternity. That is, sin was the cause, the root cause. Rebellion against God is what got them removed. And we think that we can get back to heaven with the same heart, with the same mentality, with the same nature as Satan, and be there. Sorry, wrong Jesus, wrong gospel, wrong God, wrong Bible, wrong church. That, my beloved, is upside down Christianity. What has become unholy, many are calling holy. And when the Word of God says that is holy, do not call unholy. That is used for holy things, do not use or treat as unholy. Don't take the things that are holy and make them profane. And that's what's happening in these places, these mega messes. They're taking what is supposed to be a holy convocation, a holy gathering unto the Lord. And what are they doing? They're filling it with entertainment that is nothing more than blasphemy. Nothing more than blasphemy. There's no brokenness. There's no sobriety of reality of what is going on in our day and how close, how nigh we are to the end of all things. And many of your relatives are going to die and go to hell because you were caught up in an upside-down church. You were caught up and you represented an upside-down Christianity that was not birthed by the Spirit of God, that was never intended to take place. God never desired this. But Satan did, and men, because they love to have it so, and because they will not repent, deny themselves, pick up the cross, and follow Jesus Christ. They take the path of least resistance, that is, towards their flesh, and they follow after their father, Satan. I want to point out a few things. There are just a few things that I believe that we need to look at as realizing is upside down, and we need to turn it right side up. And the apostate American church, people go to church instead of being the church. When you understand what church is and what church means, then you will understand that what we have going on today, buildings with signs out in the front of their property, like grocery stores, like other markets and other stores, and calling it church, that's upside down. Just as much, and I've said this for a long time, just as much as it is upside down for me to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to go to James, well, that's an impossibility because I am James, therefore I get up and I be James. That is what we are intended to do by the life and the power of the Spirit of God, is to be the church. And the experience with the Godhead, the experience, the daily experience with God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost produces the church in every individual. So you can't go to church. Going to church is as much as a duty as going to work or going to the gym or going to the grocery store. And once you done did that, you just check it off as completed. and you go about your life, go about your day, having checked off something that's supposed to be sacred and holy, and something that is to be a lifestyle, upside down, time to turn it right side up. Something that proves not only to be upside down, but something that also clearly shows that we're in a state of apostasy, is we're calling something church that is no church at all. We're calling men apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, when the vast majority of these men aren't even born again. We have replaced the clear call of Christ to deny self in order to follow him with a simple little prayer. And on top of that simple little prayer, we're promising people heaven in their unholiness, even though the scriptures make it abundantly clear that without us being pure in heart, or only the pure in heart will see God, and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. People are being told they will secretly be raptured from the earth before the great tribulation. This lie, however, flies in the face of more than 40 verses that promises persecution and tribulation to all those that live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, let me stop there and say a couple things about this secret rapture lie that I once believed myself. And it wasn't until the Lord sat me down and challenged me by asking me, where did I say before the tribulation I would rapture you? I'll never forget how clear I heard the Lord challenge me on that. And for 2 years, I sought the scriptures on this issue. I didn't seek men. I sought the scriptures. And when I came to the conclusion of when the coming of the Lord is and when we are gathered unto him, then the Lord brought two other individuals that were able to teach it more clearly than I had seen it, just as God used Aquila and Priscilla to help, I forgot the gentleman's name, Apollos, to understand the way more clearly. One of those men, his name is Joel Schimmel. You can go to his website, Good Fight Ministries, and on that you can go to the resources, and there's a teaching called Pre-Mid or Post. I think it's like 11 or 13 teachings. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. Second thing, he just came out with a documentary called Left Behind or Led Astray. It's a 2-hour documentary. It is the foundational teachings of the pre-tribulation lie. It is going back to the roots and the origins of the pre-tribulation lie. Most people don't realize that this pre-tribulation lie started in the 1800s. And it was created by the enemy to be a tool of division in the body of Christ, and that's exactly what it did. It brought division. George Mueller stood up and rejected this teaching and actually separated himself. I don't know if he separated himself, but those that they were teaching it, that he was a part of, they obviously separated themselves from him because he wouldn't stand for it. However, that Left Behind or Led Astray documentary is a wonderful tool to help people that have been sucked into this lie to see the truth on this matter and to truly give themselves over to the clear teachings of Scripture so you won't be led astray. The next thing I want to point out that is upside down, the grace of God has become a license to sin and not the power of God to overcome sin. So the grace of God in our day has become, as Jude said it would, and that is that it would become a license to sin and not be taught or understood or even experienced as being the power of God to overcome sin. So experience is being thrown aside for traditions. And then those that, like the charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movements that had some light and had some truths that the body needed to experience and to live in, they've taken experience to the other extreme, to where their experience can't be found in the scripture, but their experience is actually lining up with Hinduism and different manifestations that come from New Age, from Spiritism. So you ought to, I mean, it is such a horrific day that we're living in. And one of the things that many of those that have seen this and have come out from this false church system, I want to encourage you to give yourself over to the Lord in faith and in love and with patience to endure. Because looking at this and talking to people and having such a deep-rooted desire to fellowship with other brothers and sisters, only to find that it is like sweeping through many, many cobwebs before we can even have true spirit-filled, spirit-led, godly fellowship because of all the lies that they're entrenched in. One can grow very weary. One can grow weary. Experiencing the parable of the sower of the seed, where some seed falls here and some seed falls there, and experiencing that, fellowshipping with someone where you know the seed has fallen there, but because they didn't, for whatever reason, let it take root, they fall away. That hurts. That hurts, and that can make many weary. The Bible says, because iniquity will abound, Jesus actually said, concerning the end times, in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will draw cold. And iniquity not only abounds on the earth, but how can it abound in our world unless it first abound in our hearts? And so when people don't want to let the love of God, as we see in the scriptures, not this worldly compromising love, but the love of God, which that's also been upside down, but let the love of God, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, abound in our lives. Instead, they want their flesh to abound for whatever reason, because they love it or it's too difficult to lay it all down. Listen, denying yourself, picking up your cross is not just the language makes it very clear. It is not something to be rallied. It is not a simple thing. It is not a simple act. It is not a simple act. But many grow weary and they fall away. They turn away. And we must pray for those that have fallen away or that are growing weary and have cut themselves away out from other believers. We must not grow weary. Do not grow weary. Do not grow weary. Ask the Lord to invigorate you again and again and again, to strengthen you. To strengthen you. The source for all these and many more false teachings and practices is the three-letter word, you. Now, we know that Satan is behind this. We know the devil is obviously pushing it, and we know the devil is creating and recreating church, if you will. And he wants the church. He wants just as much as he wanted Israel, and he got in. When Balak called Balaam to come and curse Israel, that was Satan's move to try to get into the king or into the nation of Israel and become the head of it. Through Molech, through Baal worship, all these false god worships that God warned Israel not to do, and then we find them doing it. And God judges them, 25,000 being killed by God himself in one shot, in one plague. While Moses and the other elders are stringing up those that rebelled against God and hanging them on trees. God does not take sin lightly. Something else that has been turned upside down in our day. Satan wants his place in the church. And that's one of the biggest problems we have today is people are exalting and elevating a man, a senior, quote-unquote, pastor. I call them senior deceivers. They're elevating a denomination. Oh, Calvary Chapel, the Assemblies of God. Oh, the Baptist, Southern Baptist. I'm Baptist. I'm a Calvaryite. I'm a Legacyite. I'm a Sagebrushite. I'm a Christian. That's what I be. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Christ never intended anything else. He didn't intend for there to be Lutherans, Calvinists, or any of these other heresies that point to the reality of the carnality and the state of the false church in our day. I feel burdened on Saturdays to share this message of the upside-down Christianity and to labor by the Spirit and the Word to turn it right side up. I pray that you join me every Saturday at 11 o'clock Mountain Time. Until next time, may you remain on your knees in the Word, in faith, and in prayer until the day that the Lord Jesus comes back. Godspeed.